Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. From the Kitab Best as ever, we'll be doing this chapter, Namaz ki Sharto ki Bayan. That what are the conditions for the validity of Salah. So, Namaz shuru karne se pehle, kai cheeze wajib hai. Before commencing Salah, there are certain things that are obligatory, that are wajib. Agar wudu na ho, to wudu kare. If a person does not have wudu, then he has to make wudu. Otherwise, Salah will be invalid. Nahane ki zarurat ho, to ghusl kare. If a person is in need of a bath, then he should take ghusl. Is in a state of janabat, then a person has to take ghusl. Badan par ya kapre par koi najasat lagi ho, to isko paak kare. On the body of a person, or on the clothing of a person, there is some impurity. Then that impurity also has to be removed in order for your salah to be valid. Jis jaga namaz par hi ho, wo bhi paak honi chahe. And the place where you perform salah, that place should also be clean. Meaning the area where you are performing salah, there shouldn't be any napaki in that area. So the place must be clean, your clothing must be clean. And a person, if he requires wudu, then he must take wudu. And if he's in need of ghusl, then he has to take ghusl. Fakat muh aur dono hateli aur dono pair ke siwa, sar se pair tak sara badan khub dank lewe. Now this kitab was written for women. Basically Zewar was written for women. So therefore, the Tanwi Rahmatullahi he writes that besides the face, the palms, and the two feet, besides these parts, the entire body has to be covered of a woman. So only the face of a woman, her palms and her feet, these three parts of her body can be exposed in salah. For a man, the minimum is the navel to the knee. However, it doesn't mean that this should be his code of dressing. This is what is the minimum that should be covered. Qibla ki taraf muh kare. A person should face in the direction of Qibla if a person is performing salah. Jis namaz ko parna chahti hai, iski niyat yani dil se irada kare. And whichever salah a person wants to perform, so the niyat of the salah has to be made from the heart. That niyat doesn't have to be made from the tongue. Verbally a person doesn't have to make niyat. Fuqaha have written that for a beginner, a person that is just commencing salah, like a child that started maktab, now he learns. For him, he should verbally make a niyat. But later on, for a person that's already got practice, for him to make a verbal niyat, they say this is bid'ah, that he shouldn't make a verbal niyat. Because the mahal and the place of the niyat is the heart of a person. So a person came for Zohar Salah, he doesn't have to say verbally, I'm now performing my four rakats of Zohar Salah, like how we learn in the maktab. Just in your heart, you have a niyat that my four faras of Zohar I'm performing behind the imam, Allahu Akbar. And a person commences his salah. Waqt aane ke baad namaz pare. That a person should perform salah after the time has entered. Person reads it before the time, that namaz is invalid. So later on he'll have to perform that namaz again. Ye sab cheezein namaz ke liye shart hai. These are all the requisite, the conditions for the validity of salah. Agar isme se ek cheez bhi chhoot jawegi, to namaz na hogi. If from amongst these conditions that we have mentioned now, for example the time, the dressing of a person, the napaki, etc., if any of these things are not found, then he says that namaz, if a wajib is left out, then the namaz will not be valid. Barik yaktan, zeb ya book ya jali waghaira ka bohot barik dopatta aur kar namaz parna durust nahi. For a person, for a lady, that she is wearing her orni, a scarf, so to wear such type of a scarf that is very, very thin, where many a time it is even transparent. So he said this is not correct, they should not perform salah in this type of iskaf. Agar namaz parte waq chotai pinli, ya chotai ran, ya chotai ban khul jawe. That while performing salah, if a quarter of the shin became exposed, or a quarter of the thigh became exposed, or a quarter of the hand for a woman became exposed, or itni der khuli rahe, jitni der mein teen bar subhanallah keh sake, and it remains exposed for the duration of three subhanallah. So it remains open for that duration in which a person can say subhanallah three times. So namaz jati rahi. Then the namaz of a person became invalid. So in other words, the woman, the entire body has to be covered except those three parts. So if any part of a woman's body now was exposed for the duration of three subhanallah, quarter of any limb was exposed for the duration of three subhanallah, her namaz will be invalid. Similarly for a man, that which has to be covered is from the navel to the knee. So So if any part from the navel to the knee, a quarter of it becomes exposed for the duration of 3 subhanallah, then the namaz of a person is invalid. Like for example, if the t-shirt has to lift up in the back when a person now goes into sajda, and it is a quarter of the limb, and for the duration of 3 subhanallah, salah is invalid. Phir se pare, so that namaz has to be repeated. Aur agar itni der nahi lagi, balke khulte hi dak liya, so namaz ho gayi. But for example, if it didn't take so long, for the duration of 3 subhanallah, it was not exposed. Say for example, it just opened up for a little while, for the duration of 1 subhanallah, and a person immediately pulled that t-shirt down, so then salah will be valid of a person. Isi tarah, jitne badan ka dankna wajib hai, is mein se jab chota udwa khul jayega, so namaz na hogi. This we already explained, that part of the body that is wajib to cover, if from that part of the body which is wajib to cover, a quarter of a limb is exposed, then namaz does not take place. Jaise, ek kaan ka chotai, a quarter of the ear, this is for a woman, because we said her, only her face is to be exposed, so the ear of the woman has to be covered. So a quarter of the ear becomes exposed, salah is invalid. Ya chotai sar, or a quarter of the head, if the burqa or the had to slip, and a quarter of the head became exposed for the duration of 3 subhanallah, the namaz is invalid. Ya chotai bal, or a quarter of the hair. Chotai pet, a quarter of the stomach. Chotai feet, a quarter of the back. Chotai gardan, a quarter of the neck. Chotai sina, a quarter of the chest. Chotai chati, a quarter of the breast. Waghaira kul jane se namaz na hogi. By a quarter becoming exposed in all these cases, the namaz will be invalid. Jo larki abhi jwan nahi hui, agar iski orni sirak gayi, aur iska sar khul gaya, to iski namaz ho gayi. That girl that hasn't reached the age of puberty, she's still na baligh. So the namaz that she is reading, that is considered as nafil. So in her case, if her orni, if her scarf had to slip a little bit, and her head was exposed, then her namaz will be valid. There's no problem, because her namaz is not yet obligatory upon her, that is considered as nafil. That's why a child, if the parents take him for hajj, 8-year-old child, 9-year-old child, a boy, not baligh, and he performed his hajj. So does this mean that he is absolved of his responsibility? No. Later on, when he becomes baligh and he gets wealth and hajj becomes obligatory, then he has to perform his hajj again. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, he once came to Imam, before he studied under Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, he came to Imam Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, and he told Imam Sahib, he asked a question. He asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he said a boy read his Isha namaz. And after reading his Isha namaz, he went home and he slept. And at night he became baligh. At night he became baligh. So does he have to repeat that Isha namaz, or the Isha namaz that he read, is it valid? Imam Sahib rahmatullah says, no, he has to repeat that Isha namaz. Because when he read it before bulugh, that was nafil. Now it is obligatory after becoming baligh. So this boy then went one side, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah, he was a young boy at that time, and he started his namaz. So Imam Sahib understood that he asked about himself. He said he will become a great man. And then what Imam Muhammad rahmatullah became. Agar kapre ya badan par kuch najasat lagi hai, if on the clothing or on the body some napaki has come on it, lekin pani kahin nahi milta, but a person can't find water, for example he's traveling, or for some reason there's no water, and now there's napaki on his clothing and he has to read namaz, to isi tarah najasat ke saath namaz par lewe, then would the impurity on your clothing, a person should read the namaz, because there's no water to remove it, and now namaz is farad upon you. So at this stage, a person, he must read his namaz with the napaki on his clothing. Or agar sara kapra najis ho, ya pura kapra to najis nahi, lekin bohot hi kam paak hai. Or if the entire clothing is napak, head to toe, a man became napak. Or very little is paak, the majority of the clothing is napak. Yani ek chota isse kam paak hai. Less than a quarter of the clothing is paak. And more than 3/4 of his clothing is napak. Or baki sab ka sab najis hai. Now besides that less than quarter, that little bit that's paak, more than 3/4 is all napak. So aise waqt ye bhi durust hai ki is kapre ko pehne pehne namaz pare. So you have two options. The one option is, with this napak clothing, because more than 3/4 is napak. So you can read namaz with the napak clothing. Aur ye bhi durust hai ki kapra utar dale aur nangi hokar namaz pare. And the second option is, remove the napak clothing. And without any clothing on the body, a person can read namaz. Lekin nangi hokar namaz parne se, isi najis kapre ko pehen kar parna behtar hai. But better than performing salah without any clothing, it is better that you still perform your salah with the clothing that is on. Although the clothing is nafaq, it is still better because your satr, your private part is concealed. Whereas if you're going to remove your clothing, your private part is going to be exposed. Or agar chota hi kapra, ya chota hi se zyada paak hai. Now we come to the second scenario, where if a quarter of the clothing is paak, or more than quarter is paak. So in other words, less than three quarter is napaak. Now it is less than three quarter, that is napaak. And quarter is paak. To nangi hokar namaz parna durust nahi. Now a person cannot perform salah without the clothing, because a quarter of the clothing is paak, or more than quarter is paak. So now a person must perform salah with the clothing. Isi najis kapre ko pehenkar parna wajib hai. It's wajib to perform salah with the clothing that you are wearing. Agar kisi ke paas bilkul kapra na ho, if a person doesn't have clothing at all, to nangi namaz pare. The person should perform salah without clothing. If a person doesn't have clothing, then there is no excuse. Namaz must be performed. Lekin aisi jagah pare ke koi dekh na sake. But go and read in such a place where nobody can see you now, because you don't have clothing on your body. Aur khare ho kar na pare, balke baith kar pare. And a person shouldn't stand. Preferable that he doesn't stand, he sits. Because if you're going to sit, your satr, your private parts are going to be concealed now by sitting. And you standing is going to be exposed. So it's better that you sit and read it. Or ruku sajda ko ishara se ada kare. And the ruku and the sajda, a person should make ishara, indicate and make the ruku and the sajda. So in other words, he won't go, for example, when a person is standing, goes into ruku, etc. He wouldn't do that. While sitting, he would just go into ruku slightly, and then he will make the sajda also through ishara, not going into the entire sajda. Or agar kare kare pare, or ruku sajda ada kare, to bhi durust hai. But if a person didn't have clothing, and he said, no, I'll stand, and I'll make complete ruku also, and I'll make sajda also, then to the salah of a person is valid, namaz ho jawegi. Lekin baith kar parna behtar hai. Namaz will be done, but it is better that he sits down and he performs his salah. Why? Because the satr is going to be concealed. Musafarat mein kisi ke paas thora sa pani hai. Person that is traveling, he has little bit of water. Ke agar najasat dhota to wuzu ke liye nahi bachta. That if he had to wash the napaki that is on his clothing, then he won't have water to make wudu. So he doesn't have wudu and there's impurity on his clothing. If he washes the impurity, there's no water for wudu. Or agar wuzu kare, to najasat paak karne ke liye pani na bachega. And if this person makes wudu, then he's not going to have water to wash the impurity. So he's in a catch-22 situation. So is pani se najasat do dale. So what this person should do, take the water and wash out the impurity. Whatever napaki is there, wash out the napaki. Phir wuzu ke liye tayammum kare. And make tayammum for wudu. Because if there's no water, there is a substitute for that. But for the impurity on the clothing, that has to be washed out. So the person should wash out the impurity and then make tayammum and perform salah. If any of the faraz actions are left out, yesterday we did that the faraiz of wudu. So he says if any of the faraz actions are left out or a hair's breadth place is left dry, the wudu will be incomplete. So if a faraz is left out, or even a little bit of those parts of the body that are faraz to wash in wudu is left out, wudu is incomplete. So the namaz of a person won't be valid. If the four parts become soaked in the rain, or have been washed by swimming or taking a bath, then wudu will be valid even if one has no intention of wudu. We mentioned for the Hanafis, there's no need. Intention is not obligatory for wudu. If a person makes the niyat, he will get the sawab. But for Shafis, it is obligatory. So a person, he was walking in the rain, he was walking to the masjid, and on there was heavy rainfall, because of which now his whole face was washed, his hands were washed up to the elbows, everything was washed, his head was washed, and his both feet were washed. His wudu has been done. He can come straight into the masjid and he can perform his salah. While making wudu, the eyes should not be closed so tightly that the water is prevented from moistening the eyelashes, or blocking the entry of the water into the eye wells. That a person shouldn't close the eyes, that water cannot get through. To do so is makruh tahrimi, which is haram, which is boundaries of haram. If even one eyelash remains dry, or water has not entered the eye well, the wudu will be incomplete. So if the eyelashes are dry, or water hasn't entered into the eye wells, etc., then wudu is incomplete. See, wudu will not be valid if any substance which does not allow water to seep through sticks on any of the four parts that are farz to be washed. That those parts that are farz to be washed in wudu, for example, there's the substance that is on it, because of which water cannot penetrate. For example, there's gum. Or somebody was painting, and because of that some paint now came, for example, on the hand, or the face, on the feet. And now water cannot seep through that paint. Or Q-tex, or even sometimes Tippex. A person is working with Tippex. Now that Tippex came onto the hand. So water cannot seep through. So the wudu of a person will not be valid. If after making wudu one realizes that any part was covered, then he should remove the object and wash that part. So now after you made wudu, a person wiped himself and then he said, hey, there's some paint over here on my hand. Now he doesn't have to repeat the whole wudu again. All you require to do is just remove that paint. And now just wash that particular area and your wudu will be valid. There is no need to repeat the wudu. During wudu, one doubts whether a certain portion was washed or not. Here is just a doubt. The first masla is, person doubts that is this portion washed or is it not washed. In this case, that particular part should be washed. Now you in wudu, for example, you're washing your feet. Now you're doubting, did I wash my face or didn't I wash my face? So if this doubt occurred in wudu, whilst you're still in wudu, you're washing your feet, now just wash the face again. However, if such doubt occurs after the completion of wudu, then the wudu will be complete. But say for example, now you completed your wudu, you wiped yourself, everything, now you came into the masjid. Now when you came in the masjid, when you're starting salah, now you're doubting. You say, hey, did I wash my face or didn't I wash my face? So now your wudu is complete, it's done, you're already here for salah. Now that doubt, a person just on the basis of a doubt, there's no need for him now to repeat that wudu again, or to just go and wash the face. He must just continue, because this is a doubt. No notice should be taken of the doubt. If after wudu, one remembers that a certain portion or a certain part was not washed or masah was not made, then the limb should be washed or masah should be made. He says, now when you completed wudu, now a person remembers, now it's not a question of a doubt any longer. Now it's certainty that a certain part was left out, it was not washed. Now the wudu or that part should be washed again. For example, he didn't make masah, now make masah. If you didn't wash your hand or your face, now go and wash it. Because now it's not a doubt. You remembered now that this part was left out. There is no need to repeat the wudu. Even in this case, you don't have to repeat the wudu. And if one passes wind whilst making wudu, that it happens, a person whilst making wudu, sometimes he's already reached now the masah. He's almost at the end of his wudu. And at that time he passes wind. So he says one should recommence the wudu. You don't just continue from that point, but all over again, now you start the wudu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From this kitab, Anwar al-Salam. Yesterday we had discussed last the hadith of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. That he said that one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lifted his gaze towards the skies. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that at this time, knowledge will be lifted up from the world. Knowledge is going to be taken away. This was Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. So the Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, that how can knowledge be taken away from us? That we are people, we recite Quran, and we teach the Quran to our children. And our children will continue, they'll teach their children, who will teach their children, and this silsila, this chain will continue. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala, that I thought that you're a very intelligent person, O Ziyad, that you could raise such an objection and such a question. Then he mentioned, Ye Yahud wa Nasara bhi to Tawrat Injil parte parhate hai. That the Yahud, the Jews, and the Nasara, the Christians, they also read the Kitab and they teach the Kitab. The Torah, the Injil, they also read and they teach it. Phir kya kar amad hua? Then what was of benefit to them? That the scriptures also, it didn't remain. So what does it mean? Does it mean actually that the actual Kitab, for example, is not going to remain, the knowledge is not going to remain? No, the knowledge is going to remain. Today there is so much of information. Perhaps we got so much information today that never existed in the past. Today a person just goes onto the internet, just goes onto Google, so many kitabs he can download. So here what it actually refers to is the spirituality, the ruhaniyat of that. That is not going to remain with a person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions one hadith, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ zaman, that soon a time is going to come upon the people. لَا يَبَقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُهُ, that nothing will remain from Islam except the name of Islam. Today a person is a Muslim. The other day we went to one jalsa, one senior alim he was mentioning, he says that one person, he decided to take his grandson with him for Umrah. So the youngster must have been 8-9 years old, so he took him, he went for Umrah. So when he went for Umrah, when they came to Makkah Sharif, So he brought him there to the Kaaba Sharif. And then he tells, because he's a young boy, 8 years old, 9 years old, perhaps first time he came here. So he's telling the young boy, he says, this is the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is Kaaba Sharif. So the youngster, he said, this is the house of Allah, our Rabb, our Lord, Allah's house. So the youngster, he tells the grandfather, he said, but isn't Jesus our Lord? Isn't Jesus our Lord? So he said, our teacher told us in school that remember, you, Jesus is our Lord, but you're a Muslim. So see how they work in school. This is what they're doing. So what happens, one alim was mentioning, he says, that a person, he sends his children to the secular school. He says, the result of it, you'll see it in this world. He says, the result, there's it, your 8-year-old child. He's saying, Jesus is our Lord, but we are Muslim. So how they trick them, that you're a Muslim. No, everything, you Muslim, everything up to date. But your aqaid is not in order. You're already believing that Jesus, na'udhu billah, is your Rabb, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person lost his iman. So when a person, he lost his iman, now he can go for umrah, he can go for hajj, he can be performing salah, he can do so much of good charity, so much of good work, everything is zero. Why? Because the basic is not there. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا Quran Allah Ta'ala says, should we inform you of who are in greatest loss in regards to the a'mal, in regards to the deeds. They think so much of deeds, yet they're in loss. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Those people, their efforts are all gone astray. Their efforts are all lost in this dunya. So much of good work they're doing, it is all lost. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا And they think that I'm doing so much of good, I'm going to get reward for this in akhirat. In your iman and your basic aqaid, one thing is not in order. In the entire foundation is down, everything is lost totally. Gee, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه And nothing will remain of the Quran except the writing of the Quran. That what we see today is the writing of the Quran. Whereas the Quran, the practical Quran supposed to be in our life. The ruhaniya, everything is there. But the ruhaniya, the spirituality is not there. For example, qurbani. What is qurbani? Qurbani, a person supposed to buy, as it explains to us, a person should buy that animal. That animal must stay with that person. And then in the days of qurbani, now you go and you slaughter that animal yourself and you do everything yourself. So he says that is the actual qurbani. But today, it's just a question of writing a check, not even check anymore. Now it's EFT. So a person, he just makes the transfer of the funds. For example, to this institute, or to that institute, and many say no, in other countries there are people that are suffering in other countries. So I will send my qurbani over there. So then others says, but they are not only suffering now at the time of qurbani, they are suffering throughout the year. Why you only want to help them now? Because now the animal, you're getting it at 1/10 of the price, of what is the price of the animal here. So you are sending it there. So that spirituality, that feeling of that qurbani, you are not getting the qurbani. The qurbani, if you ask any alim, or you ask any darul ifta, is that qurbani valid or not valid? So they'll tell you, no, if the qurbani was done correctly, the qurbani is valid. But what the qurbani is supposed to be, the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that you don't even have a feeling of that qurbani. When it comes to zakat, so zakat is there. We are discharging our zakat. Again, it's just a question of EFT today. So this institute, that institute, all we do is, we just do one transfer into that institute's account. And we say now our zakat has been discharged. So that's correct. If they discharge your zakat correctly, then your zakat will be discharged. But is this how a person supposed to discharge his zakat? The actual and the correct way of discharging our zakat is that a person supposed to go out, look for the recipient, the correct recipient of zakat. That who is worthy, who is eligible of the zakat. And that poor person that is in need, go and give him at his doorstep. Ni'mal amir ala babil faqir. The best of the amir, of the wealthy people, are those people that are at the doorstep of the poor man. He goes to the doorstep of the poor man and he says, yeah, I'm here to discharge my zakat. He doesn't have to tell him that this is zakat, but he says, yeah, I brought this for you and I'm giving it to you. Bi'sal faqir ala babil amir. And the worst of the poor people is that poor person that is at the door of a wealthy person. That is at the door of a wealthy person. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given you this begging bowl. You're supposed to be making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will fulfill your need. Just this week there was one particular woman and she's now divorced. She's on her own. She has a child. So some children are with her husband and one child is with her. And that child is also a Down syndrome. And so anyway, some inquiries were done and somebody went to discharge some zakat over there. So she was in such a stage that at that time, this I'm talking few days before Ramadan, she never had milk. She never had, she says, no milk in my house also. So the one institute that used to assist her, so I was speaking to that person, I said, you're still assisting. He says that no, this woman doesn't ask. And when this person took whatever he wanted to take and he left it at her place, so she says that I don't ask any institute. And when that whatever goods were brought there, she said, my Allah sent it for me. My Allah sent it for me. So that is a person that he turns his attention to Allah Ta'ala. He makes dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So a wealthy person, he is supposed to be at the door of that poor person and delivering the goods to the poor person. If our zakat is discharged in the correct way, perhaps there won't be a poor person remaining. But many a times our zakat is not going to the correct recipients. We don't know where and where our zakat is going many a time. We just, for convenience sake, just give it to this institute. Just give it to that institute. How many times people come, bogus collectors. Now your zakat, you gave it to him, that money is gone. Your zakat is not discharged. The zakat has to be discharged again. And how many don't even discharge? It's a burden to discharge the zakat. It's a difficulty to discharge the zakat. Whereas this is a great ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Quran Allah Ta'ala says that that which you have, that is actually Allah Ta'ala has given it to you. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the animals. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامَا. That these animals, Allah Ta'ala says, we created them with our own hands. Where can the farmer create that animal? The farmer can't create even the horn of the animal. Not even the foot or the hoof of that animal. So Allah Ta'ala says, that animal we created. And فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. We made the farmers the owners of that animal. Now that which Allah Ta'ala gave to us, Allah Ta'ala was the owner. Allah is the maker. Allah just gave it to you. And now that which Allah gave you came in this world, you had nothing. Allah Ta'ala gave you all this. And from there Allah Ta'ala is saying, just give me 2.5%. 97.5% you keep it for yourself. And 2.5% you give me. And that 2.5% also, after 1 year passes. Because in the year, there are certain items that will sell in the month of summer. There are certain items that will only sell in the month of winter. They won't sell in the month of summer. So Sharia says that no, a person, he must go through all four seasons. And after going through all four seasons, now Sharia says that discharge your zakat. So when a person finds difficulty now to give that 2.5% of that which Allah Ta'ala had given him, and after one complete year, now the punishment also becomes very, very severe when a person doesn't discharge his zakat. Mufti Taqi Sahib has written one of his kitabs about his brother. He says, who his taluk was Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh. So he said that he had a kitab shop. So he says that on one particular morning, it was raining in Pakistan. He says, a lot of rain. Raining cats and dogs in Pakistan. So he said, he thought to himself, he said, today is raining. And who's going to come to buy kitabs? Person on this type of a day, bread, milk, basic necessities, you'll go for that. Just buy that and back in the home. Person doesn't want to go outside now shopping on this day. So he thought to himself, he said that, where must I go and open my shop today? But then he said that whatever the sabab is, the means is, Allah Ta'ala has made me mukallaf that I got to adopt that means. What is within my ability and my choice, I must do that. I have to go and open the shop. And to send the risk, this is not my job. That's the job of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So with this, because he has taluk with Allah Wala, so he was thinking in this way also. So he went that morning and he says he opened his shop. He says when he opened his shop, he says he was surprised how the customers were coming. And he says exactly just like any other day, how he would do his business for the entire day. On this rainy day, he did the same amount of business. So he says, this is when I realized that this risk is not in your control. This is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's job, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends for a person. So exactly this is what is meant over here. That what is meant, that the spirituality of these things, namaz will still be there, but the ruhaniyat of namaz, this is what is going to be lifted, this is what will be taken away. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala ke shagir kehte hai. Now the student of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala narrated this hadith from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the student of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says, maine dusre sahabi Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala se jaakar ye kutta sunaya. He says, I went to Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. And I told Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, this is what Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala narrates. That the knowledge of salah or the khushu in salah, etc., all this is going to be lifted up. So inhone farmaya ki Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala sach kehte. He said that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, in fact, knowledge is going to be lifted up. So he said Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala is speaking the truth. Aur main batao ke sabse pehla kya cheez duniya se uthegi? And now he said, Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala is saying, he says that should I not tell you what's the first thing that will be lifted away from this world? You are saying knowledge is going to be taken away. Should I tell you what is the first thing that will be lifted away? Sabse pehle namaz ka khushu ut jayega. That the first thing is khushu. This is going to be taken away. People will come for salah and people won't have concentration in their salah whatsoever. Tu dekhega ke bari masjid mein ek shakht bhi khushu se namaz parne wala na hoga. You see, a masjid is full to capacity. Day of Eid, day of Jummah, how filled to capacity masajira. People are reading outside. It says not one person will have that khushu in his salah. Everyone will come. The outward salah is performed. And after namaz, a person leaves. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. We all in need. The speaker is more in need than anyone else. We all in need of it. That is why we are doing this kitab. Further, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, jo Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke razdar kehlate hai, wo bhi farmate hai. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who knew the secrets of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many things, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed only Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. He says, ke sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uthaya jayega. That's first, the khushu, the concentration of salah, that inward connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in salah, this is what is going to be lifted and taken away. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu se kisi ne pucha, ke khushu kya cheez hai? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, that what is this khushu? What I explained in the beginning, he asked, what is this khushu? To farmaya, ke khushu dil mein hota hai. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, this is the quality, khushu is in the heart of a person. This is the inward quality, that a person has got that connection with Allah Ta'ala. And khudu is the outward quality. That is, the limbs of the body must all be in humility. That is what is referred to as khudu. He has mentioned that many a times a person, he misinterprets things. For example, a person is a humble person. But because a person is a man of authority, so now he has to execute his command. He has to say, you must do this work. He'll tell a person that is under him, that do this job or do this job. So what we say, because he is telling so and so do this, do that, he's got pride in him. Whereas he's a humble person. No. It's not that he's a proud person, but he's got authority. And Allah Ta'ala has placed him in there. Now, if there's no authority, if a person is not in authority, there won't be any system. In the institute, if the principal is not there, and the ustaz do what they want to do, students do what they want to do, there's not going to be any law and order in the madrasa. In the home, if the man is not there, the husband is not there, the father of the children is not there, then there's not going to be any law and order in the home also. Everyone does what he wants to do. That is why in the ayat that was recited last night in Taraweeh also, Allah Ta'ala says, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that the men, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given them this position, this superiority over women. So on what basis? Not that the man is the king of the house and the woman is the slave of the house. No, one reason is because they have to spend. It is the job of the man to go and earn and to spend on his wife. And second reason that ulama mentioned, that man has been given the superiority in order to have law and order in the home, that the children have to take permission from the father, the wife, she has to inform the husband. So this is the reason. Not that this person is a proud person. As I mentioned in an incident, he says that when the British had come into India, so at that time there was a job that was being offered. So one person, he applied for the job. So when he applied for the job, he went for his interview. So they sent him somewhere with one or two workers. They said, you go to a certain place and do some work. So this person, he went. So when they came to a certain station, they were on the train. So when they came to a certain station, so this person who's supposed to be the man of authority now. So what he did, he went to buy the tea. And when he came back, he gave the worker also the tea and he also drank the tea. So same time, they dismissed him. They never gave him the job. They said, you're supposed to be the man of authority. If you're going to come to this level, then these people, they're not going to respect you. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his khanqah, he was very strict with the muridin. Very, very strict. But in his private life, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make istighfar, that Allah forgive me, that had to be hard. Why? Because there was an objective. Now can you say, because the man was in authority, he's commanding that this must be done, that must be done, that is an indication that a man has pride? That is incorrect. Further, Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala kehte hai, ke dil ka khushu, Allah ta'ala ka khauf hai. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala says, that what is khushu? That the khushu of the heart is that a man has fear of Allah ta'ala. Or nigaah ko neechi rakhna hai. And it is to keep the gaze of a person lowered. That is the meaning of khushu, that the fear of Allah is in the heart and the gaze of a person is lowered. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ek martaba ek shakhs ko dekha ki namaz mein dari par haath phir raha hai. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion he saw one person that in namaz he is now playing with his beard. He's passing his hands over the beard. Many people have this habit, they play with the beard all the time. Irshad farmaya ki agar iske dil mein khushu hota to badan ke sare aada mein sukoon hota. He said that if this person, he had khushu in his heart, then all the limbs of the body would be at total ease. Would be totally at ease. This is an indication that a person has got khushu. There was a particular king, he wanted to send his son, the prince, for itla, to a certain buzruk, to a certain pious person. So this buzruk that was there, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him as far as dunya was concerned also. It doesn't mean that a person, if he's got some dunya, then he's not a buzruk. So perhaps he had a good house also, perhaps he had a good, in our terminology we'll say a good car, in his time maybe a good animal. So So he had a good home, good clothing he was wearing. So this prince that was now sent over there, so now the objection came into his mind that, you know, man, this man can't be a Buzruk. He's got a good house, he got a good car, he's living a good life. So this man, he can't be a Buzruk. So initially when he came, the Buzruk, he closed all the doors. In the house, all the doors that were there, he closed all the doors. So this person now, he expected that red carpet to be rolled out for him. But here now it was difficult, he couldn't even get into the house. So already half his Islah got made. He's already in Parishani, because there at the palace, he's getting VIP treatment. Everyone, he's the senior. But here, he can't even get inside. So half his Islah was made. So then the Buzruk said, give him a glass of milk. And he told him, now take this glass of milk and take him through the town. And with him, he sent a soldier. He said, if he drops or he spills the milk, if he has to spill the milk, kill him. Kill him immediately. And he ordered that in the town, all the lights, all the decorations, whatever are there, street lights, everything must be put on, all these decorations. So everything was put on for him. And now he goes into the town. And he's carrying this milk. But he can't drop even a single drop of milk. Otherwise he's going to lose his life. So he goes through the entire town and he comes back now to the Buzruk. So the Buzruk told him, he says that when you went to the town, did you see those lights, how beautiful they are? So he says, what lights? He says, I never noticed any lights. So he says, you didn't notice the lights. He says, no, no lights. So he says, why? He says, because his concentration was on the milk. So he says, exactly the same way, these awliya, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, their heart is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So all these dunyavi things are there. It's there for the use. They are benefiting from it. But it means absolutely nothing to them. Because their hearts are connected to Allah. But this is not for a beginner. For a man that is starting and just threading the path. This is not for that person. This is for a person that made mujahada, and after a long period of time, now he made effort on the nafs. Now that that love of dunya has come out, this is for that person. Not for a person that is in the initial stages. One Buzruk, he was going for Hajj. So when he was going for Hajj, he came to a particular place. There was another Buzruk that was there. So they stayed by his place. So the next day, this Buzruk where he stayed, also Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. Very good house, wealth, etc. he had. So also the same thought passed his mind, that look what he's got over here. And he's a Buzruk, he's a pious person. How can he have all this? So the next day that Buzruk, the one that his objections in, came into his mind, the one that was a traveler, he told him, we're going for Hajj. You also come, let's go for Hajj. So immediately, he took whatever he needed, a little bit, few clothing or whatever it might be. He immediately departed. He went with him for Hajj. Now when they were on their way, they reached a particular place. Now he had to make wudu, relieve himself. So the lota that he had, he can't find the lota. Where's the lota now to make wudu? So now he said, oh, I forgot that lota at the Buzruk's house, at that person, the wealthy person's house. So now he became restless. So now he became restless. That my lota is left. So he told him, see, you told me to come for Hajj. He says, my whole palace that was there, all the wealth, all that I left, I came with you. So that wasn't in my heart. Your one little lota that you had, that you can't find it now, you're so restless. That means the love of that lota is in your heart. So you see, the heart. So here also he's saying that when khushu is in the heart of a person, now you'll find that all the limbs of the body also is at ease. But when a person now, he's fidgeting in namaz, he's playing with his watch in namaz, he's scratching in namaz, this is an indication that khushu hasn't entered my heart as yet. Khushu ke mutalliq aage is risala mein puri wadahat inshaAllah aa rahi hai. That regarding the details of this khushu that we're discussing now, he says the full explanation of this is coming ahead. In the kitab we'll do it later on. Aur yeh baat bhi ki haqeeqi khushu yani dil ka khushu kuch zikr wa shughal karne ke baad hi hasil hota hai. And he says that how will a person obtain this khushu? This quality of the heart where a person is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how will this come into a person? So here he mentions that this will come when a person will do a cause in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. But the zikr must be done properly. When this cause of zikr is done properly, then only a person will attain this khushu. So zikr is actually to attain concentration. And that's why we find Hazrat emphasizes so much that this is one command of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, do it excessively. Udhkurullaha zikran kathira. That make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala excessively. This is one command that is found in the Quran. Namaz, for example, a person, faraz is only 5 times a day. Zakat, 2.5% once a year. Qurbani, wajib only once. Hajj, faraz once in your lifetime. Over and above that, a person, if he wants to do, is nafil. But zikr of Allah Ta'ala, there Allah Ta'ala says, excessively make my zikr. And there's hardly an occasion that is void of zikr. For example, you just made Jummah Salah. Person just came out from Jummah, the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. What a great ibadah. But you come out, Allah Ta'ala says, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. You came out from Jummah, now spread out in the earth and seek your rizq. This is the time Allah Ta'ala has put special barakat in your rozi after Jummah. And then Allah says, وَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Make the zikr of Allah excessively after the Jummah Salah. So after one great ibadat is the zikr of Allah. When it comes to the battlefield, you in jihad. Now who would think that there's a connection between zikr and jihad? But Allah Ta'ala says, إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِيَةً فَثْبُتُوا. That when you meet the enemy, then at that time remain steadfast. And what will help you to remain steadfast? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا فِيَةً فَثْبُتُوا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ. So that you'll be successful. So zikr will help you on the battlefield also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salatu salam, go and give da'wah to Fir'aun. And at that time, who? With his brother Harun alayhi salatu salam. So he said, izhab anta wa akhuka bi ayati. You and your brother Harun, go with my signs, with my ayat. Wala taniya fi dhikri. And don't be deficient in my dhikr. That meaning you're going to give da'wah. That if you want effect in that da'wah of yours, then also make your dhikr. In our akabirin also, so much of dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala they used to make. Hazrat Ji also, how much of dhikr he used to make. That the entire quota, they used to finish from the morning sometimes at 11:30, start from after Fajr, right till 11:30 in summer months. And in winter months, they used to make zikr from the morning, from after Fajr, right up to the time of Zuhar Salah. So much of zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when a person will make this zikr, then even the fitnas that are to come in future, through the barakat of the zikr, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will protect a person. That is why in the end of the life of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, he was paralyzed. He was in a wheelchair at that time. But in spite of being in the wheelchair, he travels the world. He came to Sanger, he went to the UK, so many places he went to. He says, this asfar of mine, these travels of mine, is to establish the majalis of zikr. This is how important zikr is. And he says, I think Talha Sahab, as I mentioned about him, he said that if nobody wants to sit and make zikr, for everything else you pay people. He says, pay them and tell them to sit and make zikr. So how important is zikrullah? That here also, if a person he makes the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this cause of zikr, if it's done correctly and properly, then this will allow a person or bring concentration in the salah of a person. Ji. So warna to agar namazi ke dil mein khushu na ho aur zahir mein sukoon ho, to hadith paak mein is munafiqana khushu se panah mangna aaya hai. That if a person namazi, in his heart there's no connection with Allah Ta'ala in his heart, and outwardly he shows that he's got sukoon. Because what's the sign that you got khushu in your heart? That outwardly all your limbs are going to be at ease. Everything is going to be at total comfort, total ease. So he says, if a person outwardly he's showing that he's so humble and how he's reading his namaz with so much of concentration, but in his heart there's no khushu. Outwardly showing people, like many a times a person outwardly he's showing I'm very very humble, but in reality he's a mutakabbir. He's got pride in his heart. Like Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, there was one person in the Khanqah that he used to come and he used to straighten everyone's shoes. So Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh gauged that this is supposed to bring humbleness into a person. But this man is becoming proud because of this. So this is now a Shaykh Kamil. He picked it up same time. So Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah stopped him. He says, you don't straighten people's shoes. So here also he says that if a person outwardly, he's showing his humbleness over here, but in his heart there is no khushu, then he says this is hypocrisy. This is a khushu of hypocrisy for which we have been taught that a person should seek protection from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is the condition of the munafiqeen. Munafiqeen, Allah Ta'ala says, they used to also come for salah. That وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. That when they used to stand up for namaz, lazily they'll stand up for namaz. Very hard for them to stand up for namaz. Why? They had to show that they're Muslim. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They wanted people to see that we are Muslims. But Allah Ta'ala says, they never remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, except very, very little. Hardly they even thought of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just to show that they Muslims, they used to come for Salah. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says that these munafiqeen, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be in the lowest depth of the fire of Jahannam because of the hypocrisy that they had. Or, دوسری جگہ, بے خبری سے نماز پڑھنے والوں کے متعلق ارشاد ہے. In another place, Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding those people that perform their salah with negligence, forgetfulness, no concentration whatsoever. What is the condition of their salah? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, woe, destruction to people that are reading namaz. They are reading namaz. But Allah Ta'ala is saying destruction unto them, woe unto them. that these are such people that they are reading namaz in total negligence, total forgetfulness. They just want to be reading namaz to show so that they are seen by people. This is the objective of performing salah. So this is one place where Allah Ta'ala uses this word wail, the destruction to them. And in another place Allah Ta'ala uses this word is in Surah Mutaffifin, wailul lil mutaffifin, those people that they give less. Alladhina idha talu 'ala an-nas yastawfun. When they take their measurement from people, they buy from somebody, and when they have to be given their item, then they must be given in full. They'll ensure that every gram is there. 100% I got my weight. I got my measure. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْتِرُونَ. But when they weigh for somebody, or they measure for somebody, and they're selling the item, then they give a little less. So Allah Ta'ala asks them, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُثُونَ. Do they think that they're not going to stand up tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah? لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, on the great day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the entire mankind will have to answer before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You're going to be taken to task on that day of Qiyamah. Yeah, I just want to go into this. But this is not only for weighing and measuring. Here, ulama say that it can be taken across the board. For example, a man is married. He has to give nafaqa to his wife, expense to his wife every month for personal use. This is wajib. They say if a man doesn't give his wife his nafaqa, this is also tatif. He's also giving less. A man is selling a shoe. And that shoe, he knows, that it's a, for example, a brand name shoe. He knows this is not the genuine shoe. This is the fake, Chinese made. The fake that they're selling over here. But now what he's saying, when he's selling it, he says this is genuine. So this is tatif also. The same applies to this person. A person, for example, is selling ghee. So he says this is pure butter ghee. He's advertising pure butter ghee. But in there he knows there's mixing also. Not only pure butter. So this is all tatif. So these examples can be taken across the board. So your wail, what is the meaning of wail? One meaning of wail is destruction to that person. And another meaning of wail is that wail is one valley of the fire of Jahannam. And this valley of the fire of Jahannam, and the remainder of Jahannam, they seek protection from this particular valley. So dangerous this valley is, that the remainder of Jahannam they seek protection from here. So Allah Ta'ala says that woe and destruction or this valley of Jahannam for those people that are performing salam. But then here, Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah had a question comes up. That Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah says, there was an occasion in the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when Nabi Alayhi Salam also forgot in Salah. Nabi Alayhi Salam also forgot in Salah. It comes in the riwayat that the narrator of the hadith says that on one occasion Nabi Alayhi Salam came to perform Salah. He says, either it was Asr or it was Zuhr. The narrator says, I forgot. Either it was the Asr Salah or either it was the Zuhr Salah. And then he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he performed the Salah. And he says, after three rakats, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Salam. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up and he walked out. Now the room of Nabi Alaihi Wasallam is right there by Masjid al-Nabawi. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked out. So he said there were great sahaba that were sitting there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is there. Umar radiallahu anhu is there. Great sahaba. No one got the courage to stand up and ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, that today you, instead of four rakats of Zuhr or Asr, you have read three rakats. So the hadith says there was a particular person. And this person, he had the title of Dhul Yadain, the man of two hands. Now we all got hands. But here perhaps one reason why he is called Dhul Yadain, he was a very, very charitable person, he had a long hand. He was always giving in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spending. So this person, he built up the courage. And he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, أَقُصِرَتِ السَّلَاةَ أَمْ نَسِيْتَ. Has the number of rakats decreased? Because that was the time of wahi. Many a things, there were certain laws, and later on, these laws were abrogated. For example, in the Shafi Mazhab, they make Rafi Yadain. And in the Hanafi Mazhab, there's no Rafi Yadain. But we acknowledge there was Raf'i Yadain at one stage. At one stage it was there. And later on the hukam became mansukh. Therefore Imam Sahib Rahmatullah says there is no Raf'i Yadain. So this was the time when wahi was coming down. So he thought that maybe the number of rakats have now changed. So he went up and he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ma nasitu, that I haven't forgotten also. Walam taqsur is-salah. And salah hasn't been decreased. What is four rakats is four rakats. It hasn't been decreased. So then Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he turned around and he asked the sahaba. He says that what Zul Yadain is saying, is it correct? That today I didn't read four rakats but I read short. So sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, it is correct. That today you have read three rakats instead of four. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came back onto the musalla. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi then completed that namaz. And in the end of that namaz, he made sajda istahu. He made sajda istahu and he completed that salah. So here the question comes about. There's a lot of other discussions. I'm not going to go into that. But here the question comes about, is that Nabi Mulatami Rahmatullah had, which Hazrat explained, that did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also read the salah with forgetfulness, with negligence, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made an error. So Mulatami Rahmatullah said, I had this question. But sometimes the questions that you have, You can't just ask a question in public. For example, a man is a very pious person. Or maybe he's knowledgeable also. Now, everything he cannot know. Many a times questions come to the Darul Ifta. We have to research those things. The other day I mentioned about Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah. Well, he said, after 60 years of teaching, Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, he says, then do I have to refer to my kitabs? A man does not know everything. That is why many of our ulama, they're not in favor of the Q&A. Because in the Q&A, many times a mistake also takes place. And many a times you don't know the answer also in the Q&A. So, nevertheless, a person, he can't ask a question. Because if the person, for example, that you're asking, he doesn't know the answer to the question, now all the audience that are sitting there, what they will think? There's no answers in Islam. That people don't have the answers. Yes, if you know with certainty that this is a question that's like ABC for this man, he's answering these questions every day, then by all means you may ask him. Or in his private life, go there in his private time when he's on his own and ask him that, do you have the answer to this question? If he knows, he will tell you. Or he says, I have to research it, he has to research it, and then he will explain it to you. So Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah also had this question. Then later on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala inspired him, and he said that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that his salah was such, he had such connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so much of connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that his mind even drifted away from the number of rakats. That this is that love he had for Allah Ta'ala, this connection that he had with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is why there was an error here with the number of rakats. Then Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gives an example of this. And he says that this person, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, his error was because of his connection with Allah. And our error, normally when we make an error, why? It's because of dunya. We're thinking of something about dunya, that is why we made a mistake. Sometimes an imam that's reading Taraweeh, just for a little, your thought just moves away a little, just for a few seconds, finish, there's a mistake. Why? Because your thought just drifted away for a few seconds. And now he made a mistake in the Taraweeh Salam. So Mawlana Thani gave an example of this. He says there are two people. They are standing at the bank of the river. And one person, he jumped into the river, he took a swim to the other side and he came back. And now he's standing on the bank. And the other person, he's standing on the bank, but he hasn't even put his foot into the river yet. So two people, when we're looking at them, they're equal. Both are standing on the bank. But what a world of a difference. One has taken a swim and he has come back. And the other one hasn't even put his foot into the river. He says, exactly, this is the difference. That when we make an error, this was the error of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's on his connection with Allah Ta'ala. And our error that we make is because of thinking of dunya. Some mashayikh have explained this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is rahmatul lil alameen. He is a mercy for mankind. So in the error of Nabi alayhi salam, in this little mistake that took place over here, this is also rahmat. Because if Nabi alayhi salam didn't make that error, how would you and I have known of the masla of sajdatul sahwa? That it is the error of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we came to know. Ulama mentioned that those errors which are khilaf to the shan of the Nabi, they are against the status of the Nabi, then those errors will never take place at the hands of a Nabi. That will take place at the hands of some Sahabi. For example, Sahaba also made a mistake. If a Sahabi has stolen, he also made a mistake, his hand also had to be cut off. So that is khilaf to the shan of a Nabi. How can a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala steal? So that can't take place. So you learn that masla because of the error of that Sahabi. But if there was an error that is not khilaf to the shan of the Nabi, not against the status of the Nabi, then that error will take place at the hands of Nabi alayhi salam. Like here, this is not contrary to the shan and the status of Nabi alayhi salam. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made this error in salah, and we learn the masla of sajdatul sahwa. So further he says, lihaza hazarat arifin ne baru namaz parne ke tariqe bhi bayan farmaye hain. He says it is for this reason, because there's destruction to a man that is reading namaz, because his namaz is not done correctly, it is done with negligence. It is for this reason that those people that have recognized Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they had taught the way of how to perform a salah with concentration and devotion. That is why they went to this extent. That you do not become worthy of that destruction or that curse that is there. So that is why we will teach you how to perform a correct namaz. Then that namaz will be such that will change our entire life. As it says, gives an example, he says that a son, he wants to get married. So when he's getting married, now the father took an X amount of money. He gave his son. He says, here, take this money, go and buy your fridge, go and buy your stove, go and buy your microwave, all this you're going to need, you're getting married now. So he took this money, he bought his stove, he bought his fridge, he bought his microwave, everything he bought. He brought it home also, he got his flat also. But he never connects the stove. He never connects that microwave of his. The fridge is not connected. So everything is there, but it's not going to work. So exactly the same way, the namaz that we got, the namaz is there. But if that ruhaniyat is not there, the spirituality is not there, the connection with Allah Ta'ala is not there, that now that namaz is not going to have the effect that it's supposed to have. Jin mein ek bahut hi mubarak aur mu'attir Hazrat Sayyid Ahmed Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali ki taqreer hai. He says, and for this one very effective bayan is the speech of Ahmed Shaheed Rahmatullah, which is this kitab that is to come. Jo arsa hua anwar us-salah ke naam se tabah hokar ab nayab ho chuki hai. He said, for some time now this has been printed and it or published, and it has been given the title of anwar us-salah, but now it is out of print also. As I mentioned in the beginning, this kitab was out of print. Isko dekhkar khud banda ka aur deegar ahbab ka taqaza hua ki isko dobara tabah karaya jaye. He says that looking at this kitab, what a valuable kitab. Yesterday also when we just a little bit, when I came out, one brother came, he says, where can I get this kitab? I want this kitab. Because you can see what contents is in this kitab. So he said that I also, and some beloved of mine also, some beloved people, the desire was created that this kitab must be printed again. Ki is mukhtasar lisala ko, jisne bhi farha, be ikhtiyar ashkar utha, that whoever read this little booklet, he said they were amazed, they were astonished when they read this little booklet. Ki subhanallah, kya namaz, kya hal hai, qurratu aini fi salah, puri misal hai, that what is namaz, that what condition of a person that performs his salah properly, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the coolness of my eyes lie in salah, this is a complete example of that. Inshallah, we'll continue from this point. Inshallah.